Axiom, the tasty truth.
This is Elder Bryson with I Like Your Style. I am here with the band Small Talk from San Diego, right here at home. How's it going, y'all?
Pretty chilling, honestly.
Chilling like villains. I love it. So go ahead and introduce yourselves. Who we got in the band here?
Who's going to go first?
Go for it, Ness.
Cool. So I'm Ness. I sing and scream in the band.
All right. I'm Victor. I play guitar and do some backup vocals in the band. And Ian's frozen.
Oh, no. Do we need to sing the Let It Go song?
What's up?
I was joking. Do we need to sing the song from Let It Go? Yeah,
there's a dumb joke. Let's do it.
Let it go.
Ian literally froze.
Oh, no.
Ian's our drummer, though.
Okay, Ian's our drummer. Hopefully he makes it back with us for this chat here. So tell us the origin story of Small Talk. How did y'all get started? And what's your, where'd you come from?
I'm going to let Victor take this one since he's the one who started this one.
All righty. So I started Small Talk back in 2013 with a couple of friends of mine from high school. And we wrote like a pretty good amount of songs, but like we didn't have any money or anything. So we even recorded like a little EP on an iPod Touch, like through the voice memos. And then I had to go to, well, I didn't have to go, but I got accepted into a college in LA. So I moved and I was living in LA for a few years. So during that time away, like I kept writing music, but my friends back home, like I think they were like kind of done with the band. So it turned into like a solo thing and I kind of just put it on the back burner, but not wanting to like give up on it, but just knowing that like, it would be hard to do alone. And then me and my brother started doing emo karaoke nights. And at one of the nights, Ness was on stage and he sang and screamed a Mice and Men song. And it was so good. And I was like, okay, like I'm gonna hit him up on, I think it was like Facebook Messenger or something. Like I slid into the DMs. And I was like, man, like you sounded really good. And then so me and Ness met up and we pretty much gelled right away. I'm pretty sure we wrote the song through within like a week or so. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, like Small Talk, like as people know it now, like really took shape. And Ness, you can take the origin story from here.
Yeah, and then like Vic said, like from there we started, playing shows and, writing and going to the studio, and we had never done that before, like, professionally in any way. So it was like totally new to us. But we started growing and all that, and then Ian actually just joined about a month ago. But we've known Ian for so long, and we've just now been, especially during this time, it's super weird during COVID. But we've just been writing a ton. Like, I know we just released the EP, but we have so many other songs coming. But it's just, that's the kind of way that we flow, is that we're so write, like more stuff. And it's just so natural and it doesn't feel very rushed or anything, but it's been an actual blast for sure.
Oh yeah. I love that whole, recorded your first EP on an iPod Touch voice memo notes. Like, you know, like that's you got to get it out there somehow, right? Like, you know, you just keep on building with what you have and keep on making. Now, I need to hear more about Emo Karaoke Night because I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. And back to the EP record, it was called We're Broke. But anyways, so Emo Karaoke Night is something that me and my brother do here in San Diego. So I've been going to Emo Night in LA since it started when I was living up there. And then when I moved back home, like there were some like Emo Nights that are like local, plus like Emo Nights started touring. But every time, like, people are, like, all go to, like, sing along and stuff. But I always thought, like, it'd be kind of cool to just have, like, a karaoke night only for emo music. So, like, my brother was doing a lot of karaoke already through, like, this one company. So I just brought up the idea, and then we rolled with it. And we've been doing that for over 3 years now.
That's fucking rad. I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
So what's one thing that y'all wish you knew when you got your band started? What's the one thing that you know, would have gone back and done differently?
Get your song mixed. when we first went to the studio again, like it was just me and Vic. Ian was actually there recording it. That's how we met him. But we didn't know anything about anything. Like we literally just thought that we showed up there and recorded it. But, you know, once we left the studio, we didn't even know anything about mixing it or mastering it or anything like that. And we literally were just so excited that we uploaded it to Spotify like the next day. So I guess just, you know, researching things and taking your time with it, I think would be best for us, for us for sure.
That's beautiful. I remember like my first EP, like one of the tracks, I think I panned like the kick drum all the way to the right. It was super awkward. Like,
yeah.
Like people were making comments on SoundCloud. Like, I like that you did that. That's a bold choice, you know, stupid, but bold.
You're like, yeah, I totally planned that.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, your music is so raw. And we're like, yeah, cause like we didn't mix and match.
Seriously,
we didn't mean to. We just thought it, we were so excited that it was on wax, right?
Yeah, straight up.
So, what does the phrase "sex, drugs, and rock and roll" mean to small talk?
Well, it's funny because I'm actually straight edge, but to me, it's just kind of like live life and do it. What about you and Ian, Vic?
Yeah, I don't do drugs. I don't really drink. I'm a virgin.
Very dad rock over here.
I don't think that applies to us at all, except for the rock and roll part because we love going off on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of Verbamate and, like, tea.
Oh my God.
You know what? If that's what keeps you going, fuck it, man. Like, I'm about it. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
Ooh.
I feel like a 10.
Yeah. I think we're all actually 10s for sure. Ian actually put that best.
Definitely.
All of your... Wow, that's impressive. What's the weirdest thing you've ever done?
Oh my God. Weirdest thing I've ever done?
Pertaining to what, though?
Anything. It's all open-ended, you know? Share.
Go for it, Ian.
People need to know.
You say me go first? That's a really good question. I'm trying to think. I mean, probably one of the weirdest things I think that I have done was I saw this band after this show. I don't even remember who it was. But I wanted to buy merch so bad from the person, like from the band and everything. But the guy who was actually in the band was like selling the merch, and I was like way too nervous. And I literally paid somebody $40 if they could go buy it for me because I just couldn't do it. And then I pretended like I didn't even know who the band was either, and I had to hide the shirt. I walked 3 miles to my car to put it away, and then I came back and acted like I didn't really care for the band because I was so fucking nervous. It was so bad.
Social anxiety is a bitch, that's for sure.
Horrible.
I just used to make really weird like videos with my friends in high school and stuff. Like,
oh, so last week.
Yeah. Like cringy weird, but like in the best way, and like really funny looking back.
Oh my god.
Like, how cringy
stuff all the time.
And what about you, Ian?
The weirdest thing that I've done that I'm actually thinking about it right now, because I used to be a Marine, right? And it's our birthday today. The weirdest thing I've done was attempt to break dance in my dress blues.
Oh my god.
That's up there for sure. Well, did you, so you say attempt, you didn't successfully break dance in your dress blues, I take it.
I thought it was break dancing because I was drunk at the time.
Brilliant. I'm about it.
It was a good attempt.
A for effort. So what have y'all listened to that's been inspiring to you lately?
Lately, that's there was something lately that I was listening to. Fever 333's new album I was just listening to. It's just so good, and it just came out at a perfect time, everything with the election and everything going on. It was just lyrically, it was so extreme and just so like raw, but like they mixed and mastered, of course. Just raw in the sense of like lyrically, it was just so out there and upfront, and I absolutely loved it so much. And that's been inspiring me a lot to maybe write a little bit more upfront than we already do for me.
Definitely. Yeah. So what is your biggest failure as a band so far, and what did you learn from it?
Oh man. I think we've gone through some lineup changes a couple times, and like failure is like a kind of strong word, but we've definitely learned to really kind of get a feel for someone before letting them join, and just realizing that like it just happens, like people will come and go, but like I think that's definitely one big lesson we've learned. And also, oh man, like our first time trying to record with someone was like the biggest failure of all.
I kind of forgot about that till now.
And that, like, I'll let Ness tell the story about that, but that, I think that was our biggest learning.
Yeah. And so basically when we played our first show ever, some guy had came up to us and said that he really wanted to record our song and everything. And obviously we didn't know, and we were like, yes, oh my gosh. So we drove all the way up to, I don't know if you're familiar with like San Diego area, like fully, but we drove up to like Oceanside or Vista or something like that. It was kind of like an hour-ish away to record a song. And basically like, he's like, oh, I'll do it for free. And then after that, we'll start doing everything else. But then when he gave us the song, when it was done recording, the song was completely changed. Like the lyrics and the words were literally moved to other parts of the song. And basically like held our song hostage and was like, well, we're not going to give it to you unless you give us this amount of money. And you know, we were just, it had sucked because we had literally been there for like 9 hours to do that song because the drums were like programmed and everything, and it was like so hard. But like it taught us like we literally just have to go to like a studio. Like, you know, I know it's like nerve-wracking to be in such a big studio and everything, but for sure, like, it's the way to go.
And be very involved too, like with the recording process and the mixing process and like the mastering process.
Right. Like asking questions too was a big thing, but yeah, I'll never forget how bummed I felt that day, but it was a learning experience. That's all we could say.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of people preying on musicians out there, like definitely trying to scam them for and fleece them for all kinds of stuff. And you really got to watch out for that. But yeah, I appreciate the, like I live right here in Golden Hills, so I'm probably close to you guys, but there's Oceanside, you know, we have listeners in Asia, so not everyone's going to know where Oceanside is. So I appreciate the explanation there. What advice would you give to someone who is aspiring to be a musician?
Ian, you want to go first?
Sure. My advice, take all the advice you can get.
That's pretty good.
I was going to say for me too, just, you know, if you're going to do it with other people, make sure that everyone's like-minded like you. because at the end of the day, like, it'll burn you out if you're around people who aren't as excited as you are. So be around people who are excited about what you're creating together.
And I'd say write from the heart and write like yourself. Like, don't try to write like someone else. Like, just kind of stick to your guns and just, yeah, do what you love. Like, do it because you love it, not because, like, you're trying to get something out of it. Because at the end of the day, like, you have to love the music you're making and the people you're doing it with.
100%.
Oh, yeah. I can't agree more. I mean, I once had a drummer, and I was in this band for, like, 2 years. This drummer, he was just in it to get laid. No interest in the music or, you know, he'd talk a big game about, like, all his goals and dreams. But, you know, he wouldn't, you know, show up to practice unless he thought that that meant we were going out to the bar afterwards and he could try to get some. So, you know, like, it was really awkward. Yeah,
and it'll burn you out, too, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that's why I'm a solo artist now. But
it's kind of the best way,
right? Uh-huh. Y'all seem to be doing it okay though. Who are the three people who have been the most influential to you?
Ooh. Oh, my gosh! Okay, who goes? Ian, go first.
Dave Grohl, Kurt Cobain, and Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
Dang, classic too. All right.
I'll double down on the Kurt Cobain, but then I'll go Ned Russin from Tidal Fight and Patrick Miranda from Movements.
Wow. I'm going to go with Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, Davey Havok from AFI, and Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Good combos all across the board. I love Davey Havok, but Dave Grohl lately has just been my spirit animal. This whole little drum battle he's been doing with that Nandy girl from Britain is just been
so cute.
It's the highlight of 2020. It's like, yeah, we went all through all this for that, right?
Yeah, that's the thing keeping us going is those videos.
And that girl is adorable too, like extremely talented.
Oh, yeah.
She has a huge future ahead of her, for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. She's a way better drummer than I am, that's for sure.
than everyone.
Than everyone.
Shit. So, where can our listeners connect with y'all online?
So, we're on basically everything, like... The main thing that we are on is, like, Spotify, but we're on, like, Apple Music, YouTube, Bandcamp is free, all that type of stuff you can find us on. And also, if for some reason, I always say this, but if anyone couldn't, like, find our music in any way that wasn't accessible, just direct message our Instagram account at smalltalk.sd, and we'll literally send you the files. But it should be accessible everywhere on all those streaming platforms.
Wow, that's bitching. All right, yeah, I'll post some of those links and when we put this up. But for now, we're gonna go ahead and listen. You have a new acoustic album out, and I'm gonna play a track off that called "Numb," and we're gonna check that out and be right back.
Numb to the pain that I feel.
that song.
Oh, thanks for listening to it so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for making it. Shit. So tell us about the recording of this acoustic EP. Like, where'd you get it done? You know, who played the piano? What you know, were some of the ideas and recording processes behind it? All that fun stuff. Let's get nerdy with it.
Oh, right. Ian, go ahead and take that one too, because you know Ian recorded it.
And we'll take it after.
So the recording was done at my studio, Dragon's Den Studios, and the piano was done at Signature Sounds.
So with the piano, I got a little fun story about that. Is the day before we had the scheduled session at Signature Sound, like I kind of just sat in my like living room with my piano and just came up with every piano part for the songs. And then the next day, like, we had to record it. And I remember, like, I kept messing up, and like we had maybe like two songs done in 1 hour, and we had booked like 2 hours, and I had like five songs left to do, and we were all like time, like crunch it. And then I remember Ness and Ian were both like, "Should we add another hour?" I was like, "No, I got this." And I remember doing like five songs within that hour, and it was like trying to get like single takes and like just really just going for it. And it was a lot of fun, and I would do it all over again. Like, I loved playing piano.
That's awesome. It was like Vic said. So Vic played the piano for the album. Vic did the acoustic guitar and bass and all that stuff. We recorded it obviously during COVID. So you know, it was really interesting to record always wearing masks, unless, like, you know, we were singing, we would take it off. But it was really interesting process to do it. I mean, we were still able to do it, you know, thankfully. But we got this done in roughly, I would say, about 2 weeks, but we went like for full day sessions, and really like spent so much time on this. Hawthorne alone, that took one entire day. So that was like an 8 hour song. And it was, you know, it was one of those things too, where we've never recorded acoustic. And it was like everybody in the room had to be quiet. So if you moved a chair, you know what I mean, it'd pick up. So it's like you couldn't even breathe comfortably. You know what I mean? Sometimes I would stand outside when they're recording the guitar.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the beauty of the process of making music, right? Like,
definitely.
So what was the moment y'all knew that you wanted to be musicians?
Oh, my God.
Well, for me, it was honestly super early. Just always listening to music all the time. Obviously, like, maybe not started off with emo, but, like, listening to it for my parents and my family. And I always just felt a connection to it. And I've always been super involved with it, whether it be, like, going to shows or, like, writing stuff at home. Like, I just knew, like, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I don't care if I'm sleeping in my Nissan Sentra car and eating a gas station food after. That, to me, sounds incredible. And it just, for me, also, when we're playing music, it's like the time slips away. And I know that I really enjoy it. And that's happiness right there for me.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. Pretty much, I was raised on music from my parents. Started taking piano lessons when I was around like 4 or 5 years old. Did that until around 15, but I started like teaching myself guitar around 12. And like I joined bands like in middle school and high school and stuff. And like, it was just a lot of fun. And like, yeah, it's always been something that like, I just thought I would really like to do. Like, I even remember like my dad buying me a binder when I was like a kid. Cause like I would like type out like a bunch of lyrics. And I had like a binder, like completely like, filled with just song lyrics. So like, I think it's been something I wanted to do since I was a kid, and I'm glad it's happening now. Ian?
For me, I started out when I was watching VH1 Behind the Music as like a 5-year-old. You know, I wanted to be part of the music industry, not a musician per se at the time, but then I started getting my first drum set like at 15, you know, playing emo music and with my bands at the time in high school. and I just loved it ever since. You know, I just wanted to be a part of that whole industry.
BH1 Behind the Music. What was your favorite episode? Like, who was your favorite artist that you saw on VH1's Behind the Music? That, like, oh, if you can remember back that far.
I can, actually. Michael Jackson was one of them. Poison, Motley Crue. Like, all those, like, you know, 80s bands at the time. 90s, Guns N' Roses, all that stuff.
I saw the Michael Jackson one. That one was fucking epic. That brings back some memories. Yeah. So what's your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Shit.
Poo poo pee pee. Poo poo pee pee. Yeah. I love it. You're so wholesome.
Oh my God. And then Vic gets off, he's like, fuck.
Sounds about right. And going the opposite direction, what's each of your favorite piece of gear?
Oh man, I just bought a new Telecaster recently that I'm in love with, and I've continued like building a pedal board that I'm really digging a lot. Probably my favorite pedals on that are the 1981. I'm pretty sure that's the brand. It's the guy from
Swift fan.
Yeah, the guy from Reliant K. So that's like an overdrive that I love. And then the Quiet Theory like reverb pedal I'm crazy about.
I love it. But real quick, tell me more. I'm just a huge Telecaster fan. Tell me more about this Tele.
I mean, I remember like the first time I tried one, it was me and Ness. We had like 8 hours before a show. So we went to this like guitar center, like in Riverside or something, which was like kind of middle of nowhere in California. And like I saw this like all white like Telecaster, and I was like, damn, like this is really nice. And I was just like playing it for fun. We were just like jamming out in the guitar center. And then, yeah, I bought it when we came back home. Right before COVID, which is funny. but yeah, it's beautiful. It's really clean. It just has a clean sound. And yeah, I love it. Never turning back.
Never.
And honestly, for me, it's not even my equipment, but I really enjoy Vic's pedal board because I get to step on it sometimes. But I really like the rat guitar pedal because it makes it sound super crunchy and just gets so much louder too. And I just enjoy doing that. And I enjoy for our sound, that pedal sounds amazing. And I just really enjoy it a lot. I know Ian has a lot of equipment, so I know he's going to have a more specific answer for you too.
I want to say, can we talk about plugins? I like plugins.
I love plugins. By all means, what's your favorite plugin?
Play all the wave stuff. I love all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, the Waves Mercury Bundle changed my life for sure.
Definitely. I love that, man. What's your favorite plugin on there?
My favorite plugin, honestly, it's the API EQs. They sound so fucking good. Oh, yeah. Like the 550 series and the 560 series, freaking money. I put it on almost everything.
Your version of that too, or are you just partial to just the plugin version?
No, I wish I had the hardware version of it. Like those are a little spendy.
Maybe next year for Christmas.
Right, yeah. Maybe like for 20 Christmases, maybe.
Right?
Right. My dream lunchbox is like at least like $4,000 or something like that. It's nuts. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love getting nerdy. And then I just got the, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to use the Isotope Neutron.
No.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What is
that?
Dreamy Neutron.
Wait, Jimmy Neutron. I heard Isotope.
Yeah, yeah. Nope. Never mind. It's like this machine learning mixing tool where like it listens to your music and learns how to mix it and like gives you advice on how to make your sound better.
Oh my gosh.
That sounds awesome. I'll have to check it out after this.
That's the future.
It is. I love it.
Straight up.
It's amazing. But, you know, I know like a lot of like, you know, older engineers hate it because they call it voodoo. But so you guys have finally made it. You're on your world tour in your private jet, right? Ooh. Like, yeah, everything. You've got your record collection in the back of the plane for some reason, and somehow, whatever reason, you're flying on your international tour on your way to Japan, playing Osaka, and your plane goes down. You have just enough time to grab three records to play on your little coconut powered radio on the desert island you're going to spend the next 5 years on. What three records are you grabbing?
Oh my.
I thought that question would turn so many different ways. But, for me, I'd be grabbing Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. I'd be grabbing The Eminem Show by Eminem. And I'd also be grabbing, oh my God, this is so hard, but I'd probably just be grabbing, oh my gosh, that's a really, I would be grabbing The Amulet by Circa Survive. Totally different three, but gotta have variety if we're gonna be here for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna pretend like I don't need to choose any of those because we're gonna be on the same island, so we'll all like share records. So my three different ones will be all right. It'll be Mm-hmm by Reliant K. I'll bring Fine But Dying by Liza Ann, and I'll bring maybe like the White Album from the Beatles. Something classic that kind of like brings me back to like home and stuff. Makes me think of my family.
Aww. What about you, Ian?
Oh man, I don't know if I could pick three, but I'll pick one and I could blast that all day. Green Day, Dookie.
Oh yeah.
I never get tired of that.
That shaped the future of music.
Mm-hmm.
In this genre.
Somebody the other day was asking me to cover that one song. I was all by myself. No one was looking.
Did you do it?
No, I still have to do it. It's in the works. It's in the works. It's happening
soon. We'll wait for it.
I'll make sure. I think I was just going to send it to this one friend of mine who wanted me to do it because it's such a short song, but I might, fuck it. I might just throw it out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, what do you typically like to write about lyrically?
Sadness. No, while joking aside, it really is. We do write a lot of like, I think a lot of stuff dealing with like emotional, mental health for sure. Because I'm trying to think of all the songs and I can't think of any song that doesn't have to do with that. But some of them do turn positive and about like, you know, getting better, but a lot of them are pretty much about being in that really weird place. And especially now during COVID, you know, the new songs that we're writing are very in that realm as well. Just feeling a little bit trapped and isolated and whatnot.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense.
Plus it's hard to write about getting better. Like when, like,
we're not, getting better.
So it's, yeah, I think, yeah, I definitely write about like loneliness, like heartbreak, kind of drifting apart from friends and just like kind of home life. I don't know. The past, thoughts about the future. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's heavy. That, you know, it's hard to write about getting better if, you know, when you're not, or even when you are. Like one of my favorite musicians, Andrew McMahon, you know, he wrote so many sad, you know, love songs, and, you know, then he wasn't going through that so much anymore. So Something Corporate wasn't a thing and became Jack's Mannequin. Then he got married and had kids and was happy now. So then he became Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. And like, he couldn't keep on writing about those topics anymore. So just like, fuck it, I'm going to do this now.
Exactly. Total, yeah. Like change, you know?
And that just made me wish I chose, I just went to the 10-year tour or the 15-year tour.
Up in up the drive-thru show and up in Orange County.
Yeah,
I wanted to go to that so badly.
Oh my gosh,
was it worth it? Like the drive-thru, like that's, I haven't been to one of those yet, but have you or talked to anyone who's experienced one? Like, what, how was that?
Oh, it was amazing. It was run really well. Like that one was run really well, and like they had like temperature checks, like the cars were really spread apart. And you could like listen to the band like through the radio or like this app. It was pretty cool.
Did it feel sad in any way? Like, oh my gosh, like I miss like pushing people or.
Yeah, no, you miss, like you would wish that you can like get like in your car and drive in circles and stuff, but. Oh my God.
What's a dent or two? It's no big deal.
Also, the album is Everything in Transit, I believe you're talking about.
Yes, thank you.
That's the one that you're looking for sure. Everything in Transit. That's
I got a brain fart.
Nah, you're good.
So many hitters.
So, what drives you as a band?
Wow. Honestly, I think more so recently with me, at least personally, I think just seeing the progress of the new songs and how fast they are and how we write together as a three really inspires me and makes me motivated. It makes me want to go more. Uh-huh. And even when Ian wasn't in the band and he was just recording our music, we still would stay with Ian for like hours, like, you know, like recording or mixing or whatever. And just that was so exciting to, you know, yeah, we were tired, but it was like, we were so tired, but we were so excited to be there that it kind of like made the tiredness go away. And I think that that's the one thing that keeps me going in this band is just the energy that it brings me. And just the future of it too. Like the new songs, like I'm saying, like, just so excited about it for me.
Yeah. I was going to be sappy and say like each other.
Aww. There's a wholesome bundle of light in the back. I can't wait till live music happens again so I can come see you and like watch this ridiculous, you know, lead singer hitting the pedal board they're just very exciting.
So for real though, like, I want to do this because like I know how much joy brings us and the fact that like we put so much into it, like I want us all to be able to like share in like the success. And if we don't get successful, like we're still in it together, so it's still fun.
That's beautiful.
Like mighty individuals, you know. I love it.
That's me great. Too. All right, it's time for my favorite part of the show, Hot Takes Corner. Yeah, what's your unpopular opinion that you're sure is true? Like, you know, like mine is ketchup only belongs on one thing, and that's in the garbage can. You know
what?
Yeah.
Okay,
but you can go anywhere with it. What's, you know, one guy come on and tell me that he wasn't convinced that the Earth was flat, so flat, so.
Okay.
You know, there's anywhere you can go with this. Have fun. I'm curious to know.
For me, I would just want to put out there, one of the big ones is candy corn is amazing, whether you like it or not. Two, I don't think that the premium gas actually makes a difference to anybody's gas tank. And I don't understand why it's an option. Straight up, it literally makes no difference on a car. And candy corn is amazing.
I ride a Vespa, and that's why premium gas exists. But yes, otherwise you're right.
I drive a Nissan Sentra, which is just like an older car, but to me it just runs, and I thought that's all that matters, you know? Yeah.
No, for 98% of people, you're absolutely, there's no reason for premium gas to exist, but motorcycles and scooters, it's a thing.
Oh my gosh.
I'll say that pineapple does not belong on pizza, ever. Wrong. Never.
No. Never. Ever. I love you guys.
No, that's a really wrong take. It's a really wrong take, but it's the hard take.
No. Super. The bold stance.
I hate Chipotle.
Ooh.
Ian, what?
Okay. I love this. What's why?
talk about over that any day.
Wow. I mean, same, you, now like, that I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, same.
Times and just not get it to me, you know, like...
That's so beautiful.
Sad, Ian.
That's, I've never heard anyone say that in my life, and other than, you know, South Park and that episode about, you know, the spray
Your
that
butthole's bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so sad. What are we gonna eat when we tour? Nothing?
Taco Bell.
Oh yeah, Taco Bell. We'll have the dollar menu.
Yeah, no, that's like the heart of touring is like, you know, like you're broke as shit. So you know, you find that day old Taco Bell burrito and you split it three ways and that's your dinner.
Straight up. Well, that definitely will have to happen.
Dream come true. The joys of touring, though.
Another hot take is that Denny's isn't actually good. I think that we all just went there after shows because it was the only thing open. But who the hell has gone to Denny's during this pandemic? Nobody.
I've actually driven by that Denny's up on University, not in University, on El Cajon, and it's been pretty packed occasionally. Like they've got like blue easy ups all around it, and like folding tables and shit, and it's weird. Like I don't know why.
Oh my gosh!
I personally don't understand why anyone during this pandemic is going to any chain. Like why you wouldn't be going to like your local restaurants and getting takeout from and supporting like way better local food for like a dollar more. Uh-huh. It's beyond me, but yeah, no,
I agree with you on that. That's an incredible point.
But yeah, these hot takes have been phenomenal. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I'm trying to get more, but I can't.
Oh shit! So, what do you feel is a common misconception about being a musician? Like when you tell people, "Hey, I'm in a band," like what do you think they think about that? That's probably wrong.
That we're making a lot of money.
Think we all know that. Anybody?
Yeah, I don't think that's. I don't think there's anyone question that, but you know, like I can imagine like people hopping on your Spotify and seeing, oh look, they've got like, you know, like 35,000 spins on their latest single. They must be raking it in, right? And it's like that's like $27.
Right.
If Spotify actually paid artists, then maybe, but.
And I think like people like, you know, like let's say like before COVID, you know, like not that it like bothered me because I wanted people to go, but like, you know, people like always wanted to like go to shows for free and never actually like help support you. You know, of course we like did it all the time because we wanted people to go. But like, just like this misconception that like it doesn't affect us, like when people don't like, not even just us, but like the other bands on that ticket, you know, just things like that. I think like people like bands are like small businesses essentially. So, you know, you support small businesses, like help support your local bands too. You know what I mean? And I think that's a misconception too, is that just that people think that we could just be fine with like a Spotify stream. And even like you said, like, you know, maybe like $20 or something, like very minimal, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, there's a... It's fun, but here's the thing. Like, I spent 10 years of my life, you know, with my big boy job, not, you know, working 60 hours a week to make good money, doing something I didn't give two fucks about, and I was so miserable. You know, that, like, there's something to be said about that as well, right? Like, yeah, I'm broke as shit now, but who cares?
I agree with you on that.
And whatever money I do get doesn't go to anything but the music.
Yep.
Being a musician is very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the only people who will, you know, take $20,000 worth of equipment and load into a $500 car to drive to a gig that pays $50.
That's a perfect order.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, maybe the gig pays a little more, but
yeah, we could change that. But
we could change that part. Yeah. Well, that's the goal, right? So, what are y'all hoping to accomplish in the years to come?
Ooh. I want to. I want us to get signed by like No Sleep Records, like Run for Cover, like one of those like really big like emo labels. And I want us to tour. I want us to be able to have really cool vinyl variants of our albums and like EPs. I don't know. Like not like crazy stuff, but like just like cool things. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about you, Ian?
Definitely, you know, since I also engineer, you know, get a bigger studio. Definitely want to tour with the band. That's one of the things for sure. I just love music, you know. I want to be surrounded and engulfed in it.
It's beautiful.
Definitely. And I mean, with me too, like Vic kind of said, and Ian, like, you know, touring is like the big thing. Like I would, let's say whenever this ends and we're able to like tour, or like play shows, just also like just playing more shows. Like we played a lot of shows before, but playing more shows, playing with more bands, you know, also just, I want to tour more than anything. And even if we got signed and we were, you know, cause a lot of bands make their money from touring, you know, like you mentioned, it doesn't come from really streaming. You know, for me, like thinking about being touring like more than half the year sounds fun, you know, and just seeing different places and being signed would be amazing. Yes. But I know everybody wants, every band wants that, right? So it's kind of like we're kind of waiting, but just being signed would be so awesome to have that support. But regardless of not, if we got signed, we're going to keep on going up speed like this. So
I was going to say being sponsored would be really sick too.
Yeah, like I'd rather be sponsored than signed personally.
Like guitars and basses and stuff. And like, oh yeah, like I'll play this on tour.
Like,
are you kidding?
I know, but I love how you have your alternative. Like, even if we don't get signed, we're going to see. Because, like, being signed isn't the end all get all anymore. Like, look back into Marco. He's not signed. Like, fuck.
That's true.
It
really is.
So, you know.
That's insane. You just keep going regardless if you get signed or not. And also, like, you know, like you said, there's so many artists that are not signed. And look at them. They're playing massive sellout shows. They have people to help print their merch and whatnot. So that's not my biggest concern. But don't get me wrong, it'd be amazingly cool.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't happen, we're just going to keep on going.
I love it. I love that. That
if you guys are listening, like, we are interested. But
yeah.
Yeah. But if not, it's cool.
Well, yeah, that's beautiful. Like I love that can-do attitude. That's how I know that y'all are gonna, you know, do well, is that, you know, you're not gonna quit, and that's beautiful. What's the best show you've ever played?
Oh yeah, Bummer Summer.
That's a hard question. There's been a lot of good ones, and I was gonna say we've had a lot of good ones. And the funny thing is we've played a show with Ian before he joined the band, because he filled in at one point because our previous drummer was having surgery. And one of the shows we played with Ian, we played at this like warehouse called Bow Wow House. I don't know if you've been to that. But the crowd was actually really cool for that. Like they were like moshing and stuff. It was awesome. But I think just the Che Cafe, all of our shows there, like literally every show we played there has been off the wall. And I just think the vibe at Che, it's just an incredible venue. And I think it's just one of my favorites. That and Bow Wow, crowd's always crazy.
I would say Bummer Summer though. Like I'll always remember Bummer Summer because like we put it together ourselves, which is really cool, first of all. And then just like the crowd was there. Like I think that's one of the first shows where we really got a lot of movement and like crowd, like participation. So it was like finally like a moment. I was like, okay, like they're feeling it. So I don't know. I'll always remember that for sure.
And people were like on the drums, like dancing and like throwing like fake money. It was crazy. We even had a wall of death at one point. What the hell?
We did. Yeah, you split up the crowd like boom.
Oh man, the Wall of Death is legendary. I remember my first Wall of Death was a Suicide Machine show at like the Warped Tour. And like they described, like I'd never seen it or heard of it before, and they described it like Braveheart. Like
that's great.
Yeah.
Oh so, my gosh.
What would it take y'all to quit making music?
Nothing.
Being dead. Yeah, being dead.
Beautiful. Yeah, I kind of knew that was the answer, but
yeah, I hope not.
But right. So if y'all could step into my shoes and be me for a day, what would you have asked yourselves that I didn't?
Wow.
I mean, I will say you've done an amazing job. But let me think.
Yeah.
Favorite
maybe,
video game?
I guess, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good one. What's your favorite video game?
Anything Zelda.
Anything Zelda? Yeah. Vic?
I mean, currently my time has been spent between Animal Crossing, Mario Kart, or like Tony Hawk, Last of Us, Fall Guys, Among Us. I like naming that computer game. Yeah.
I mean, for Call of Duty. Like you said, yeah, like for me, like I've been playing just mainly like I like first-person shooters, and like Vic said, Call of Duty does come out this Friday, which I'm pumped about. But I also just, again, like probably like Doom or like Animal Crossing. I know totally two different ones, but you gotta have variety.
Yeah, those are as far apart as I can get. I'm terrible at first. I gave up on first person shooter. Like after the 70th time my friend shot me at GoldenEye, I was just like, nope, this is not
yeah,
my.
I'm done.
I'm gonna go play Final Fantasy 7.
We have some pretty epic Mario Kart tournaments between us and like other local bands, which is a lot of fun.
It gets crazy.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Well, yeah, this has been fantastic. Do you have any last words for the audience?
Thank you so much for listening to this, and check us out on Spotify, and our Instagram is at smalltalk.sd. Like, again, if you can't find our music anywhere, we'll literally DM you the files because we really hope you like it.
That's
exactly. Our new EP just came out. I've Seen Better Days. We put a lot of heart into it, so we hope it comes through. And yeah, I think you can listen to it for free on Bandcamp too. And we have some cool merch there too if you want to support us in that way.
All right, everyone, this has been Stall Talk, and I like your style.
We like yours too.
Aw.